Hey, listen, I do want to mention in our 50th year here at WMMR, the longest standing rock station in the country that still plays current rock music, we've had a lot of influential groups that have been on the airways here at MMR.
A ton.
And the gentleman that we're going to talk to next was a big part of one of the biggies. And clearly one of the greatest rock and roll documentaries ever made.
Yes.
Was made about his former band. He now has a solo disc out, which we're going to talk about. Last few years, he's been filed under the Where Are They Now file. But he's back with a vengeance.
Yes.
From Spinal Tap. Please welcome Mr. Derek Smalls.
Yes.
To the show this morning. Derek.
Hello. Hello. Good morning.
Hey, wonderful to have you 50, back.
50 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, 50 years, yeah. This station's it stood through a lot and continues to carry the torch for rock music, man.
Well, make sure your hand doesn't get burnt or singed.
We'll try not to.
The torch does tend to burn down.
It does, really. Yeah, time goes on.
I would like to start by saying, Derek, how impressed I am looking at the track listing and the musicians that you have on your debut disc. I mean, and this speaks to the influence that Spinal Tap has been through the years, because listen to these legendary
the Luminaries.
Steve Lukather, Chad Smith, Taylor Hawkins, Donald Fagen, and Jeff Baxter, Skunk Baxter, Paul Schaefer, David Crosby, Steve Vai, Greg Bissonette, Joe Satriani, Rick Wakeman. I mean, how did that come about, that these wonderful names got on board this project?
Well, not just the names, but the actual people.
Oh, the actual people were there, too. You didn't, okay.
It was more than just the name. The actual musicians showed up.
You can pay, you can pay for the name.
Okay.
He's been in the business long enough to know that matters. By the way, did you mention the full name of the album, Preston?
No, I'm sorry, I did not.
It's a Small's Change, Meditations Upon Aging.
That's right. The upon is very important for the rhythm.
Upon Aging, Why Now? And this is an interesting thing here, because to Preston's point, you attracted all these great musicians.
Yes.
Did they hear that this was something you were working on and inquired? Did you reach out to them?
We reached out to them sometimes repeatedly. You know, please return the message, that sort of thing.
Right.
But some of them we knew, Dweezil and Lukather. And Satriani had played on the previous Spinal Tap record from 1992, Break Like the Wind. Mm-hmm. So we knew them, or at least we knew their numbers. and in many cases after they finally did call back, the response was great generosity and warmth and I should say even maybe love, summed up by one of them. I don't think I can say this word on the air, but it was the first word in the two-word phrase was pity.
And we can gather what the second word was.
And I took that as a compliment because I've been on the other side of that equation many as a time.
Well, this impresses me because this is it seems to be the work of an artist who is looking back on a life and has come to some conclusions. And I want to read a quote. I believe it's one of the lyrics. The quote is, age is just a number.
Yes.
Number is just a word.
Yes.
And word is just a thing.
Word is just a thing, yes.
And that is very profound. And I think that's that kind of profundity is something you only arrive at after living the kind of life you've had.
Well, you need, you know, I've lived a very loud life, you could say. And you need a little space of silence to be able to come up with those kinds of insights. Fortunately, I had such, that was what life, I had a friend in Albania that I went and lived with for a while, and that was...
Albania.
Yeah, and I'd say that was a time of some silence, although he was in a near-death metal band called Chainsaw Vermin, so it would get loud on occasion as well.
Chainsaw near Vermin. Death. No, near-death metal.
Okay. Near-death metal.
The songs sound like they're never going to end, and then they do.
Oh.
Well, to the point, the album starts off with a very lush sort of orchestral...
Yes.
A piece which kind of put me in mind of Days of Future Past by the Moody Blues. So I want to ask you, what were the inspirations where did you draw inspiration from the creation of this album?
Well, I should say the difference is that we had real strings, not a mellotron. The Hungarian Studio Orchestra is all over this record because it veers sharply from just hard rock to grand, almost pretentious in the best sense of the word, symphonic compositions. I think my inspiration was drawn from life, but also from the sense that I felt I needed to do something different from tap, to rock hard, and then to use some more colors. And if you want to use more colors in rock and roll, you've got two choices. Add guitars, which, you know, it doesn't do much. Or add a symphony orchestra, which, you know, gets all these horns tootling away and these strings sawing
right.
away. And then you've really got a lot more colors to play with.
And but you definitely don't deny the rock and the guitar bass
no.
with tracks like Gum in the Gash.
Yeah. Gum in the Gash, which
Steve Vai featured on that.
Yeah.
All over it. He's all over it, you might say.
He's all over Gum in the Gash.
Yes. And he draws a word picture with notes of what the song is about, I'd mm-hmm. say.
Okay.
There's right. there's a number of them. Hell Toupee.
Yes.
And Toupee is T-O-U-P-E-E, not you, Toupee,
well,
not
you,
two
you
separate
know,
words.
That comes from, I spend a lot of time thinking about the Supreme Evil One. And people may view this as a bit shallow, but I also think about how he thinks about how he looks. And that's where that song comes
from. Hell Toupee, okay. He might have some issues with hair loss. And,
he might.
Okay. Okay.
And he might not have his doctor's office searched. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Derek, I did want to ask about Tap and your relationship with Nigel and
yes.
David. And
yes.
do you guys stay in touch and what they might be up to?
Well, I know what Nigel's up to. He sent a very nice message saying he liked the record, but he's moved to the south of England. He's got a fairly large farm. And he's been obsessed, I think is a fair word to use, for about the past 8 or 9 years since we played Glastonbury and Wembley. Obsessed growing miniature animals, breeding miniature animals, not growing. And he's guitar players are such extreme personalities, aren't they?
He's breeding miniature animals.
Yes. You know, guitarists are this sort of personality that fly too close to the sun, get their wings singed, and then have to come back to Earth and put sun cream on them. And he's miniature animals, but he pushes it too far. So the first, he bred miniature horses for a while. He couldn't find jockeys small enough to ride them.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's turned to goats, miniature goats, which are cute as all get out.
Yeah.
But again, pushed too far. Too small to milk.
Oh, so my goodness.
They must be extraordinarily miniature.
They are. They're, you can hold them in the palm of your hand. But, you know, so he just pushes too far. David, I really don't know. I don't know if you know this. I'm not ashamed of it, but I'm not ashamed of it either. I was addicted to the internet, so I can't use it.
I remember.
Yes. So David, I hear from, he'll send a letter in the post every once in a while, and I'll open it up very eagerly. You know, and it's always Chinese pictograms on the paper, which I don't read, strangely enough.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So I don't know if he's saying, I miss you, mate, or I love the new record, or I'd like the dim sum and duck for three. I don't know.
Chinese pictograms.
Okay.
Chinese pictograms. Huh. It might be his wife, his woman, I don't know if they can, but, you know, it might be Janine writing it.
Oh, she might still be in the picture. Wow.
She's in the picture. I think she's taking the picture, mate.
Wow.
I wanted to ask, I'd mentioned this is Spinal Tap, wonderful documentary about your group, and there was another great documentary that you guys have a sort of a tandem relationship to. It's called A Mighty Wind, and it's about the folk music explosion. And there's a group called The Folksmen that have opened for you guys on a couple of occasions.
Yes.
And there's such a diametrically opposed musical flavor. How did you ever consider having those guys be a support act for Tap?
It wasn't really our idea. It was a promoter's idea. I think there was a backhander involved, which is, I think you Americans would say, a payoff. Because it was embarrassing for them. I saw them come off the stage a few times with just giant liquid stains around their armholes. You know?
Okay,
right.
Because they're just absolutely the absolute worst possible opening.
I think they were hooted off the stage more often than not, because our audience wants it loud, and folk music is. I think the whole nature of folk music is can be summed up by the word shh.
Okay. I would agree.
Folk music, yes, absolutely.
Hey, Derek, I don't know if you saw this morning, a news story, but Gibson has filed for bankruptcy.
I heard about that.
Yeah. As a musician, what do you have to say about that?
Well, listen, musicians are always one step away from bankruptcy, so I think that may bind us to Gibson. I think it's the first time I've thought in a long time that Gibson knew something about the musician's life. You know, there's a song on this record called "Give Me Some More Money."
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, you start out busking in the street, you know, with a hat in front, "Give Me Some Money," which was an old Thamesman song from the early days of Tap. And you get signed to a record company, you get robbed blind. Then it's in the 2000s, and they say, "Oh, sorry, the record business doesn't exist anymore. Too bad you missed it." And here we are now saying, "Give me some more money."
Yeah,
just like Gibson. So
okay,
we're all in it together now. Maybe they can give me a guitar.
It would certainly be nice. But but as you take this journey on this album, which is, you know, you coming to terms with where you are in life and aging. At the end of it all, you do defer to the thing that got you to the dance, which is rock. The last track being "When Men Did Rock." And are you is that the defiance coming out in you at the end?
Men still do rock. This is a look, an epic, I should say, look backward at a time when we didn't just rock, but we bestrode the earth. Like so many colossuses back in the 1970s, you know, we were just planting musical pyramids in the desert, so to speak. And looking back at that time, we still rock, but we will never see that time again, I don't think.
You know, looking at the track listing and the songs and each one with the guest musicians, they are all given songwriting credits in each one of these songs, which leads me to believe that this was almost like a get-together and jam type of thing.
No. I wrote the songs. They get credit for appearing, but not for writing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, gotcha.
No, we didn't want to ask too much of them because, you know... they're busy, gentlemen. So I just said, no, just play on it. Don't worry about it. The songs are written because otherwise it's an additional cost.
Well, we were surprised to see Jane Lynch's name pop up in a couple of the credits as well.
Yes.
An actress.
She's a great singer, as it turns out, and she was a fan.
All right.
Well, I say she was a fan.
She was a fan prior to the recording.
Prior to the recording, yes.
What is the potential for playing some dates to support this album?
We have done a world premiere of the live show, which is called Lukewarm Water Live, An Adventure in Loud Music, in New Orleans a couple weeks ago with the Louisiana Philharmonic. We play in Pittsburgh with the Pittsburgh Symphony, Atlanta with the Atlanta Symphony. In each case, we play with a symphony that's named after the city we're playing in.
it's a good gimmick.
Gimmick. And then in Washington, D.C. with the National Symphony at Kennedy Center in July. And then we take a bit of a break, and hopefully we'll add some more cities. But it's a very large show, Symphony Orchestra, and it's the we do world premiere, the inflatable big torpedo, which flies over the audience.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's excellent.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, what is it like to finally be calling all the shots? You were in a band where people had equal say, and here you are. This is you, your name, it's your project. How does this feel to you?
Well, you know, and you can say I'm late to the party or something, but as I was standing in the old band, playing bass and occasionally coming up to my microphone and singing a song or so, I didn't realize that the lights on the center mic where the lead singer stands are brighter.
Mm.
And if you know your physics, you know that light equals heat.
Mm.
And as time goes on, you get more sensitive to the cold. So I would be doing this just for the warmth.
Oh, just alone.
Just to get warmer.
Stay warm.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. That's a different reason than I would have thought. But
understood.
Yeah, not even artistic.
It's quite basic.
Yeah.
Hey, well, we're quite happy for you, Derek.
Thank you.
Continuing to branch out and do the things that you want to do, and this is a really cool experience for you and for the fans of Spinal Tap as well.
I hope so. You know, it's an album about the what time can take and what time can give back, and I people would say to me, aren't you narrowing your focus by concentrating on that? And I thought to myself, and then I said shortly afterwards, there are only two kinds of people in the world: people who are getting older and dead people. And so I'm focusing on the active segment of the audience.
Financially, it's going to yield a bigger benefit.
I think so.
Yeah.
As a friend once said, dead men can't stream.
Ah!
Yeah.
sage advice.
Brilliant in its simplicity. I love that. Excellent. All right.
Well, Derek, come if you can bring the tour here. We'd love
to
see
Philadelphia.
You.
We'd love to have you.
Would love to.
Excellent. All right. The new solo debut solo CD, Smalls Change, is available now. Derek Smalls, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
All right, take care. I love it, man. Oh my God.
That's great.
That was
she was a fan.
That was fantastic. I absolutely loved that.
I loved your, you know, how'd you get names? Well, we got the artist, too, to come in.
Yeah, right.
Not just the name, you know. He's sharp, man.
Could you ever be a
character for, you know, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever?
I couldn't do it. But not as good as he does it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I mean, but that's where they come from. When they do these Christopher Guest films, they are, you know, they're just totally immersed in that.
I forgot at the end of A Mighty Wind how he ends up dressing like a woman.
Yes.
And he then inhabits that character as one of the Volksmen.
Mm-hmm. And if you're just catching the last half of that and are a little confused as to what was going on, that was Harry Shearer. Who plays Derek Smalls, bass player for Spinal Tap. And if you've never seen that movie, do you think it holds up to people who've never seen it or might not be aware of the whole heavy metal phenomenon?
It would, I think, because, you know, it's maybe a little bit of a time, but it embraces the pomposity of a lot of that that's still in music. But it also, in a way, it is a loving, sort of bittersweet look at the career ship has passed, and then there's sort of a redemption at the end. But I mean, how many times in that movie are you out loud laughing?
There are so many moments, but the first one that pops into my mind right now is when they're playing. It's like Cleveland or something like that, and they're getting ready to go on stage, and they can't. They get lost backstage, and they're going down these tunnelways, and like each time they're like, "Oh, we need to make it right here." All right, Cleveland.
And they round and there's the same custodian.
Yeah.
No, you got to go up the stairs here, and there's two doors. Don't go in the first door.
Oh my
it's the second door.
God.
You walk across a platform.
It's just brilliant.
But when they're going to do, they're appearing at the park.
Oh.
And the first time they see Puppet Show
and Spinal Tap. And you guys, you caught the line I used at the beginning of the
interview.
When I was introducing them, say, well, they haven't been together in a while, so they're in the Where Are They Now file. They're playing in a city that night, and they hear an old song when they were a different band. They had a different name, and they were playing this way back and said, eventually they became Spinal Tap, and they now reside in the Where Are They Now file. And they're in that town that night playing.
But the manager's coming in like, hey, we're getting some airplay.
Oh, my God.
And then realizes that they're just an afterthought.
Yeah, there's a lot of inside stuff, like the record company, you know, Paul Schaefer playing the record exec and things like that. But I think those those are hilarious. And Fran Drescher, was sort of based on Bobby Silver,
a good friend of local record rep who we've known for years and years.
Preston, have you seen Pop Star Never Stop
Popping? I'm not, and I need to.
It's a modern take on Spinal Tap, and Andy Samberg plays a Justin Bieber-like character, but it's Pop Star wouldn't exist without Spinal Tap.
No, and there is specifically in Pop Star Never Stopping, he wants to appear as if he's a bit of a social justice warrior. So he writes a song about homosexuality.
Oh, my God.
But so he goes, being gay, but I'm not gay. And the refrain is, but I'm not gay. But I'm not. And it keeps going. And everyone's
not gay.
Not gay. And it's hilarious.
Oh, my God. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I think you'd like this movie a lot.
Okay. All right. There's so many good ones. And I'd referenced The Mighty Wind, which is another, you know, it's an offshoot. Christopher Guest didn't direct Spinal Tap. Rob Reiner did.
Right.
But Christopher Guest was one of the main characters. He played Nigel.
To the Spinal Tap thing, Preston, when there are shots in that movie where Spinal Tap is performing. They were all playing their instruments and they're on stage. And they would book the Spinal Tap act into actual rock shows in like Kansas City.
Yep.
And so they would open for another band. And the audience had no idea that they were seeing, and they're getting into it, and they're you know like a big was it Sex Farm, and they're you're jumping along to the songs, and it's just great. You're actually seeing an audience unaware That's a complete joke on stage.
And when we were talking about the Folksmen, they're from A Mighty Wind. It's the same three guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Michael McKean, it's Christopher Guest, and Harry Shearer. Only they play a folk group, and when Spinal Tap would go out to do some shows, like they did one at Wembley, I think, and they had the Folksmen open for them, but people didn't know that it's the same three guys, and they savaged them on stage because they want this, you know, this
yes.
metal band, even right. though it's a joke, but they savaged the Folksmen not knowing it was the same three
that's
guys.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's yeah. Sage advice. If you've never seen Spinal Tap, this is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Watch it. Watch yeah, it this absolutely. Weekend.
All right, that was cool, man. I enjoyed that. Listen, we're going to take...